Pleased that David's going to be speaking to us this afternoon on the subject, A Consistent Message. And he's asked that as an introduction to his thoughts, we read together 1 Corinthians chapter 15. So that's 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we're going to read together the first 23 verses. Now, I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, although some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, as he appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we preach, and so you believed. Now, if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain, and your faith is in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God, because we testified about God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the firstfruits of those who have fallen asleep. But as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. But each in his own order, Christ the first fruits, then at his coming, those who belong to Christ. I'll ask for your careful attention then, please, as we ask David to speak to us on the subject, A Consistent Message.
Well, a very good afternoon to you all. Peter's just gone round and given a consistent message, hasn't he? Please use the disabled toilet. But it's only a message that people can understand if there's a sign on the door saying disabled toilet. So, do we need to get a disabled sticker on the door? Now, this talk came about a consistent message after hearing different views, different opinions on political matters. The views of various politicians of the same parties were very different. One saying this and another saying that. Then the other agreeing in principle with the other, but still believed in a different outcome. That's confusing in itself, isn't it? And as you can imagine, it was one that made me turn off the TV. Now, we live in an age that constantly gives us mixed messages. We've got to talk next week about fake news. If we hear reports on the economy, where we've got record numbers of people in work, yet some say the economy isn't doing very well. Look at health. Your 5 a day is now not enough. A dietitian said, all the natural sugar in fruit is bad for you, and the acidity is bad for your teeth. So if you've got no teeth, you can't eat any apples. So. And what about the religious denominations? Do they give a consistent message? Do they teach the principles, the commandments, those things contained in the Bible, those things God has revealed to help men and women? Or do they teach the commandments of men so that everyone gets the false impression that anything goes with God? Unfortunately, that isn't what God tells us in his word, found in this book called the Bible. Now, we the Christadelphians are a Bible-based community. And as a Bible-based community, we believe the Bible to be wholly inspired by God. As the Apostle Paul tells his son in the faith, Timothy, if you'd like to turn there, 2 Timothy, chapter 3 and verses 16 and 17. He says this: all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, fully furnished unto all good works. In verse 15, you see why everyone should read God's word. And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, and here it is, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. So if we read and share this message, God's message, not our own, we do indeed help each other and help other people come to a knowledge, as Andy said, of God's plan and purpose, and Andy said in his prayer. So we can see from just those few words of God that there is a message. There is a constant, a consistent message of salvation. Now, why do I say this? Well, the Bible tells us about God. It tells us of his character, that he is the great creator of everything, and that there is only him, not a multiple of gods. Isaiah chapter 45. We'll be going to quite a few passages of scripture, so we have to let our fingers do the walking as I do the talking. Isaiah 45, verses 5 and 6. And we read these: I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, thou hast not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west, that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. Also, verses 12. I have made the earth and created man upon it. I, even my hands, have stretched out the heavens, and all their host have I commanded. And also verse 18. For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it, he have established it, he created it not in vain, he formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is none else. So we read that God's word is the word of truth. And so, because God doesn't change, neither does his word change, and those things that are promised within his pages. And that's a consistent message, isn't it? Let's also go to Isaiah 46, where we can read a bit more. Isaiah 46 and verses 9 and 10. Remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is none else. I am God and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Deuteronomy chapter 4. Verse 35, Unto thee it was showed that thou mightest know that the Lord is God. There is none else beside him. And also we touched on it this morning, second book of Samuel, chapter 7. We look at verse 22. Wherefore thou art great, O Lord God, for there is none like thee, neither is there any God beside thee, according to all that we have heard with our ears. What's more, it says, his thinking, his terms and conditions do not change. Book of Malachi, chapter 3, last book of the Old Testament. For I am the Lord, I change not, therefore ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. And also James, James chapter 1, verses 17 and 18. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. And then in verse 18, we read that God's word is truth. And as I said, because God doesn't change, neither do the things that are in his pages change. Numbers 23, verse 19. Numbers 23:19, we read these words: God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Have he said, and shall he not do it? Or have he spoken, and shall it not make it good? Tells us he doesn't lie. Titus, before Hebrews, and in Titus 1, verses 1 and 2, we read these words: Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. And there's also a reference in Hebrews chapter 6. So we can have absolute confidence in those things, all those things God has revealed in his word. People say there are two certainties of life, death and taxes. But I say there are three certainties, death, taxes and the promises of God. We all pay taxes, and as far as I'm aware, apart from God, who is from everlasting to everlasting, always has been and always will be, the eternal, the living God, found in many passages of Scripture, apart from God, everyone else who has lived has died, no matter what people do to try and avoid it. The Bible consistently points out why we die and the reason for it. When God created the earth and everything in it, in Genesis chapter 1 and 2, when he created man and woman, Adam and Eve, he gave a commandment, a set of tests for them, to see if they would follow his terms and conditions. In chapter 3 of Genesis, shows us how they got on. Chapter 3, I'm reading verse 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. So they failed the test. And so, because they failed, the process of dying began, as we see in verse 19 of Genesis chapter 3. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. And that's still going on today. Because of our nature, we all sin. That means not fully following God's ways. As our opening reading said, since by man came death, as we know, that is Adam, as verse 22 told us. And if you go to Romans chapter 6, verse 12 confirms it for us. Romans 6, verse 12. We're told, let not sin, I think I've got the wrong, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Well, that's what Adam and Eve did, wasn't it? But I've got the wrong reference there. Chapter 5. Wherefore, as by one man, yes, sin entered into the world, that was Adam, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. So this confirms it. And it stopped there, as it said in verse 19. As 1 Corinthians 15 tells us. But in Genesis 3, verses 15 and 16, a promise was given by God that a Saviour would come to save his people. Not everyone, but his people. Those who are associated with him from their sins. And this, among many others, is a consistent message of the Bible. That one day God will fill the earth with his glory as the waters cover the deep. And it's the consistent message of resurrection that I would like to consider for a few moments now. That's why we had 1 Corinthians 15 read for us. In verse 20 of 1 Corinthians 15, we read, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. Well, if you read your Bible, you will have read of people being raised to life in both the Old and New Testaments before Jesus was born. So Jesus isn't the first fruits, you might ask. No, Jesus wasn't the first one to be raised from the dead. But all those we read of who were resurrected, raised from the dead, they all eventually died again. Jesus has not. I am alive forevermore, he declared to John in Revelation chapter 1, verse 18. So, he is the first to do so. Fruits means others who are his. These will rise also. It's just like spreading seed on the grass or on the soil. Until you do that, until it rains and it germinates, that seed is dead. But when it's been blessed with the rain and the warmth, it rises to life. And 1 Corinthians 15 verses 35 to 44 explains that better than I can. So by man's disobedience to God, his sin brought death. But by Christ's perfect obedience, offers his followers those who associate with him, life. And as we've read already, God has promised that all through the Bible. In Deuteronomy chapter 30, we read these words. Deuteronomy 30. We read these words in verses 19 and 20. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him. For he is thy life and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. So we are urged by God to choose life. You see, he doesn't want anyone to perish, but that choice is ours to make. Abraham, who we've just read of at the end of verse 20, was promised in Genesis 15 that he personally would inherit the land of Canaan forever. Well, he hasn't received it yet, because Genesis 25 tells us he died and was buried in the cave of Machpelah. So Abraham believed, he had faith in those promises that God had made to him, that his body would somehow, at a future date, be revived and made immortal. And he wasn't afraid to offer up Isaac, his only son, when God asked him to offer him. Abraham totally believing that God was able to raise him from the dead, as Hebrews 11 tells us, that chapter of faith. Job shows his understanding of the resurrection when he says in Job chapter 19, middle of your Bibles, just before Psalms, Job chapter 19 and verses 25 to 27. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, returning back to dust, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. Job, because of his belief, he will receive his reward from God. And when Martha and Mary's brother Lazarus had died, and we'll hear more of this on Tuesday, I'm sure. When their brother died, we read these words in the Gospel of John, chapter 11. And verses 23 and 24. Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. So there's a consistent message that God will reward those who believe and have faith in him and the promises he has made. Now, Jesus knew this because of his familiarity with the Old Testament prophets. And he told his disciples about it on numerous occasions. Luke 9, verse 22, Mark 9, verse 9, and verse 12. Even how long he would be there. Matthew 27, verse 63. And, as we read in 1 Corinthians 15, now, after Christ's death and resurrection and ascension into heaven, from Acts chapter 2, the apostles consistently told the message of Christ and of his resurrection. And that's where we'll stay now in Acts. We'll just go through a few of these references. There are plenty more through the scriptures, but we'll go through the stay in Acts. They consistently told the message of Christ and his resurrection because Jesus followed his Father, God, faithfully, as we've said, even to the laying down of his life. So we'll start in chapter 2 and reading verses 22 to 24. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. In being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. Same chapter, verses 29 to 32. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried. David is dead. He's still in the ground, and his sepulchre is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne, he, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, or the grave, Sheol, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus of God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Chapter 3 and verse 15. And killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. Chapter 4, verse 2. Being grieved, these were the priests and the Sadducees, as you see from verse 1, being grieved that they, the apostles, taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. Verse 10 of chapter 4. Be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. That was the healing of the impotent man. Chapter 5 and verses 30 to 32. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him of God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a saviour, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of those things. And so is also the Holy Spirit, whom God hath given to them that obey him. Chapter 10, verses 39 and 40. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day, and showed him openly. Chapter 13, verses 27 to 37. For they that dwell at Jerusalem, and their rulers, because they knew him not, nor yet the voices of the prophets, which are read every Sabbath day, they fulfilled them in condemning him. The Jews read from the scriptures, as it says, every Sabbath day. So they should have known all about Jesus. They did, but they denied that he had come. And though they found no cause of death in him, yet desired they Pilate that he should be slain. And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulchre. But God raised him from the dead. And he was seen many days of them which came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, We are his witnesses unto the people. And we declare unto you glad tidings, hey, that the promise which was made unto the fathers, God hath fulfilled the same unto us their children, in that he hath raised up Jesus again, as it is also written in the second psalm, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And as concerning that he raised him up from the dead, nay, no more to return to corruption, he said on this wise, I will give you the sure mercies of David. Wherefore he saith also in another psalm, Thou shalt not suffer thine holy one to see corruption. For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on sleep, or died, and was laid unto his fathers and saw corruption. But he whom God raised again saw no corruption. That's confirming what Jesus said, I am alive forevermore. Chapter 17 of Acts, verse 3, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. Also verse 18, Then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and of the Stoics encountered him, and some said, What will this babbler say? Of a sum, he seemeth to be setter forth for strange gods, because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection. And also verses 31 and 32. Because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, and others said, We will hear thee again of this matter. Chapter 23 and verse 6. But when Paul perceived that the one part were Sadducees and the other Pharisees, he cried out in the council, Men and brethren, I am a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee, of the hope and resurrection of the dead, I am called in question. And also chapter 26, and reading verse 23. That Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead, and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. First that should rise from the dead to die no more. Now if you've read through these chapters, you would see it didn't matter who the apostles spoke to. Kings, it didn't matter. Or if they were in danger. They spoke the same consistent message. And that is repeated and revealed in God's word. As Andy said in his prayer, God has a plan and purpose with this earth. And he wants people who hear that message to respond to him, accepting him, believing and putting their faith and trust in him. And if they do, as we have read through these passages, they will receive the reward that's promised. So will you hear and read God's message? God's consistent message that offers life, a better life now, and everlasting life in the future. Well, that is entirely up to you. Thank you for listening.